Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Tefillah, perek Yud Aleph. The concept of the Beit HaKnesset has already been mentioned in perek Chet, when the Rambam discussed the importance of Tefillah B'Tzibur. But a Beit Knesset isn't merely a location where Tefillah B'Tzibur takes place. The Gemara in Megillah understands the phrase Mikdash Ma'at, appearing in Sefer Yechezkel, as a reference to Batei Knesset, and learns from it that just as the Beit HaMikdash has Kedusha, a sanctity which regulates how we must relate to it, and what kinds of actions are forbidden inside and around the Mikdash, so too a Beit Knesset has Kedusha, which finds many forms of expression in Halacha. The topic of this perek is the Kedusha of the Beit Knesset. Halacha Aleph. Kol makom sheyesh bo asaram Yisrael, tzarich lahachin bo bayit sheikansu bo litfilah b'chol eit tfilah. U'makom ze hu anikra Beit HaKnesset. V'chofin b'nei ha'ir ze et ze livnot lehen Beit HaKnesset, v'liknot lehen Sefer Torah Nevi'im Uchtuvim. Any place with 10 Jewish men must have a Beit Knesset, where people can gather for a Tefillah B'Tzibur. The residents of a city may be forced to pay their share in the expenses of building and maintaining a Beit Knesset, as well as in purchasing a Sefer Torah and other Sfarim. The term Sfarim originally referred only to scrolls of the books of Nevi'im and Ketuvim, but later poskim extend this to printed works, especially Shas and poskim. And in general, any shul nowadays should have a well-stocked library for the benefit of those who wish to sit and learn there. Halacha Bet. Kishibonin Beit HaKnesset, ein bonin oto ela bigovha shel ir, shnemar, berosh homiot tikra. U'magbihin oto ad sheyeh gavoa mikol chatzrot ha'ir, shnemar l'romeim et Beit Elokeinu. Ve'ein potchin pitchei Beit HaKnesset ela l'mizrach, shnemar v'achonim l'fnei ha'mishkan kedma v'chulei. The Rambam learns from Sukkim in Mishlei and in Ezra that the Beit Knesset should be built in the highest part of the city and should be built to extend higher than any other structure in all the other courtyards of the city. The door should be to the east, just as the entrance to the Mishkan was on its eastern side. The Rambam doesn't differentiate based on the direction of tefillah. In all cases, the door of the Beit Knesset should be to the east. The Tur disagrees, and thinks that this is only relevant in places where one davens facing west, like in Bavel and other areas east of Eretz Yisrael, as in the Mishkan, the Kodesh Kadashim was to the west, opposite the entrance. According to the Tur, the entrance of the Beit Knesset should be opposite whichever side faces the Mikdash. So in the United States and Europe, where people face east, the entrance should be on the west. Uvonin bo heichal, shmanichin bo sefer Torah, uvonin heichal ze baruach shmipalin kenegda beota ha'ir, kedei shiyu pneihen el mul ha'heichal kishiyamdu bitfila. Umamidin bima beveita knesset, kedei shiale aleha hakore batorah, o mishu omer la'am divrei kibushin, kedei shishmu kulam. Uchishemamidin hateva shiyesh ba sefer Torah, mamidin ota ba'emtza, v'achore hateva kilifnei ha'heichal, ufaneha kilifnei ha'am. The Rambam introduces three pieces of furniture in a Beit Knesset. The Heichal, or as we call it, the Aron Kodesh, is where the Sifrei Torah are kept, and it should be placed along the wall in the direction of prayer, so that people can face it during their tefillah. The Bima is an elevated platform used for Kriyat HaTorah, and when a speaker addresses the Tzibur, as on a Ta'anit, when the Tzibur is supposed to hear words of Musar. The third item is called a Teva, and its purpose is not entirely clear. The Radvaz in a Tshuva explaining this halachah on the Rambam understands that aside from the Sifrei Torah in the Heichal, one Sefer Torah would be kept in a smaller box, called the Teva, in order to be more accessible for purposes of Kriyat HaTorah, and for an individual to read from, for instance to read Shnai Mikra Ve'echad Targum, which we'll learn about in Perek Yud Gimel, and which is ideally done from a Sefer Torah. This Teva was set up between the Tzibur and the Heichal, with its front facing the Tzibur. Halacha Dalet. Ketzad ha'am yoshvin bevatei knesiot, hazkenim yoshvin pneihem kilifnei ha'am, v'achorehem kilifnei ha'ichal, v'chol ha'am yoshvin shura lifnei shura, ufnei kol shura l'achoreh ha'shura shelefaneha, ad sheyu pnei kol ha'am kilifnei ha'kodesh, uchlifnei hazkenim uchlifnei pnei ha'teva, uve'eit sheshliach tzibur omeid litfila, omeid ba'aretz lifnei ha'teva, ufanav lifnei ha'kodesh kishar ha'am. The Rambam describes the layout of a Beit Knesset in similar fashion to that of the modern-day Ashkenazi shul. The Zakenim, like the Rabbanim and other spiritual leaders, sit facing the people and with their backs to the Heichal. The practice nowadays, following the Ramah, is for them to sit off to the side of the Aron Kodesh, rather than have their backs to it. And the people sit in parallel rows, all facing the Heichal, and the Zakenim sitting in front of it. In contrast, Sephardi Batei Knesset are set up with rows of seats parallel to three walls, all except the wall with the Aron Kodesh, which is the direction of prayer, so that everyone sits facing the Bima in the center. The Rambam continues to say that the Shliach Tzibur stands on the ground in front of the Teva, facing the Heichal like everyone else. Hence the term Yored Lifnei HaTeva, used for someone leading the Tefillah as a Shliach Tzibur, a phrase the Rambam used at the beginning of Perek Tet. Nowadays, Ashkenazim have the Shliach Tzibur standing in front, next to the Aron Kodesh, while in Sfardi Batei Knesset he stands on the Bima in the middle of the Tzibur. Halacha Hei. Batei Knesiot Batei Midrashot Noagin Behen Kavod, Mechabdinotan Umrabtzinotan. We are required to show honor to Batei Knesset and Batei Midrash, firstly by sweeping them and washing the floors. The Rambam goes on to quote customs from different places, including the land of Israel, which he refers to by the biblical term Eretz HaTzvi, to set up lamps, mats, and chairs in the Beit Knesset in order to make it a welcoming place for anyone who wishes to daven or learn inside. Halacha Vav. Batei Knesiot Batei Midrashot Eino Agin Behen Kalut Rosh Kegon Tzchok Vihitul Vesicha Beteila Ve'ein Ochlin Behen Ve'ein Shotin Behen Ve'ein Neotin Behen Ve'ein Mitailin Behen Ve'ein Nichnasin Lehen Lo Bachama Mipnei Achama Ve'lo Bagshamim Mipnei Agshamim Ve'achachamim Ve'talmideihem Mutarin Lechov Lishtot Behen Midochak. It is forbidden to act in a frivolous manner in a Beit Knesset or a Beit Midrash, and specifically to engage in flippant or idle conversation. One may not enter a Beit Knesset or Beit Midrash just to escape the heat or rain outdoors, nor may one be mitayel there, which the Kesef Mishnah understands to mean that he cannot go in simply to relax or rest. It is only permitted to enter one of these places for the purpose of tefillah or learning Torah. As for eating and drinking, the Rambam permits this only for Talmidei Chachamim who spend their days learning there, but other poskim are lenient for someone doing any mitzvah inside, like keeping watch over the Beit Knesset, and the Mishnah Berurah allows making a siyum meal inside a Beit Midrash when there isn't anywhere else as spacious. In Halacha Zayin, the Rambam goes on to forbid calculating expenses in a Beit Knesset, or even using it for a eulogy, a hesped, except for one attended by a large group of people, including some of the chachamim of the city. At the end of Halacha Yud, the Rambam allows a person to enter a Beit Knesset with his walking stick and shoes, and to enter when his chest is covered only by his afunda, a shirt meant to absorb sweat, which is typically covered by another garment. We encountered the afunda in Perek Hei regarding tikkun malbushim for tefillah. Even though Beit Knesset is similar to the Beit HaMikdash, as we explained at the start of today's parak, and it is forbidden to enter Harabayit with any of these items, the walking stick, shoes, or the exposed afunda, the Gemara in Brachot explains that there is a difference between them in this regard. The Beit Knesset has Kedusha, but is also meant to be a place similar to a home, where one can feel comfortable spending an extended period of time. Halacha Chet. Haya leveit haKnesset o leveit haMidrash shnei petachim lo yasenu derech kedei shikanes bepetach ze veitzei bepetach shekenegdo lekarev haderech shasru likanes lehen ela lidvar mitzvah. One may not use a Beit Knesset or Beit Midrash as a shortcut. The term used by Chazal is the Greek word kapandaria, to enter through one door and leave through another in order to save time, as entering is only permitted for a mitzvah purpose. The Rambam provides details in the next two halachot. If he needs to talk to someone inside or tell him to come out, he can do so only after spending a few seconds learning, either Torah Shebichtav or Torah Shebaal Peh, or at the very least, sitting for a few moments, as even sitting in a Beit Knesset or Beit Midrash is considered a quasi-mitzvah, based on the pasuk of Ashrei Yoshevei Veitecha. Only after this should he attend to the business for which he entered in the first place. After someone enters for an appropriate reason, to learn or to daven, he is allowed to leave through a different exit in order to shorten his path. The only problem is to enter without a mitzvah-related purpose, specifically in order for the building to serve as a shortcut. Halacha Yud Aleph. Batei Knesiot Batei Midrashot Shecharvu Biktushatan Heim Omdin Shnemar Vashimoti Et Mikdasheichem Afal Pi Shein Shomamin Biktushatan Heim Omdin וכשם שנוהגים בהן ביישובן, כך נוהגים בהן בחורבנן, חוץ מכיבוד וריבוץ, שאין מכבדין אותם ואין מרבצים. עלו בהם עשבים, תולשים אותם ומניחים אותם במקומן, כדי שיראו אותם העם ותאור רוחם וישתדלו לבנותן. The Mishnah in Masechet Megillah quotes a drasha on the pasuk in the Tochacha of Vahashimoti et Mikdashechem, Hashem saying, I will destroy your Mikdashim, referring to Batei Knesset and Batei Midrash. The fact that these are still referred to as Mikdashechem, even after being destroyed, shows that they retain their Kedusha even then. Hence, the details of the last several halachot apply even after one of these is destroyed, with the exception of sweeping and washing, which are only relevant for a Beit Knesset or Beit Midrash actively in use. Weeds growing on the ruins of a destroyed one are kept in place in order to arouse the feelings of onlookers in the hope that they will try to rebuild it. Halacha Yud Bet. Ein sotrin Beit HaKnesset kedei livnot acher bimkomo o b'makom acher. Aval bonin acher v'achar kach sotrin ze, shema ye'era lehen ones v'lo yivnu. Afilu kotel echad mimenu boneh chadash b'tzad hayashan v'achar kach soter hayashan. A Beit Knesset may not be torn down in order to build a new one, in the same spot or elsewhere, lest something come up and the new one is never built. Only after the new one is completely built, to the last wall, can the old one be taken down. In Halacha Yud Gimel, there is an exception to this rule. If the foundation of the old Beit Knesset is broken or rotting, and the building is in danger of collapse, it may be torn down immediately. In this situation, it must be rebuilt diligently and quickly in order to ensure that it doesn't remain a collapsed pile of rubble. Halacha Yud Dalet. Mutar lasot Beit HaKnesset Beit HaMidrash. Aval Beit HaMidrash ein osinoto Beit HaKnesset. Shekedushat Beit HaMidrash yiteira al kedushat Beit HaKnesset umalim bakodesh velo moridin. We saw in Perek Chet that a Beit Midrash is considered superior to a Beit Knesset, in the sense that it is preferable to daven with a smaller minyan in a Beit Midrash rather than a larger minyan in a Beit Knesset. The Rambam states more generally here that the Kedushah of a Beit Midrash is greater than that of a Beit Knesset, and therefore it is permitted to convert a Beit Knesset into a Beit Midrash, but not the other way around. This is based on the principle of Malim Bakodesh Ve'in Moridin. We only go upwards in Kiddushah, never downwards. The rest of the perek are the details of how to apply this principle in the case of either a sale of an item of Kiddushah or a collection of money from the people for the purpose of buying an item of Kiddushah. We summarize the rest of Halacha Yud Dalet and Halacha Tet Vav, along with Halachot Yud Chet and Yud Tet from later in the perek, which relate to the same topic. The proceeds from selling an item with Kedushah can only be used to purchase another item of equal or higher Kedushah. The five types of items under discussion in increasing order of Kedushah are as follows. A Beit Knesset, including its bima and other kelim used inside it. Next comes a teva. Then anything used to cover a Sefer Torah, like kerchiefs, mitpachot, or a covering the Rambam calls a tik, like what Ashkenazim call a mantle, or a wooden cylindrical box used by Sfardim. After these comes chumashim, meaning parchment scrolls of each chumash by itself. And finally, the highest level of Kedushah is a Sefer Torah. So, for example, the proceeds from selling a Beit Knesset can be used to purchase a teva or a Sefer Torah, but not the other way around. What happens if some money is left over after purchasing the Teva or Sefer Torah? Because it came from the sale of a Beit Knesset, it too cannot be used for any purpose of lower Kedusha. Later in Halacha Yud Chet, the Rambam clarifies that money left over from a sale can be put to any use if a stipulation to this effect is made by the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir, a group of seven notables who handle local affairs as representatives of the population as a whole, equivalent to a modern-day municipal council. In Halacha Yutet, the Rambam adds that it doesn't need to be seven people, even one person accepted by at least the majority of the city, like a modern-day elected mayor, may make this stipulation on their behalf. In Halacha Tet Vav, the Rambam discusses money collected from the local residents for the purpose of purchasing an item with Kedushah. The money may be used instead to purchase an item of higher Kedushah than the one collected for, but not one of lower Kedushah. For example, money collected in order to purchase chumashim can be used to purchase a Sefer Torah instead, but not the other way around. Unlike the case of a sale, the money left over from a collection after purchasing the intended item may be used for any purpose at all, even without any condition on the part of the city council. The reason is straightforward. The Kedushah of collected money derives solely from its intended purpose, unlike the proceeds of a sale, whose Kedushah comes from the object which was sold. So if part of the collected money is not needed for that intended purpose, then it loses its kedusha altogether. The Rambam ends Halakha Tetvav with the cryptic line that in the case of money collected for some kadosh purpose, im hitnu alehen hakol lefi tana'o, an explicit stipulation is effective. What exactly is the Rambam referring to? The Kesef Mishnah understands this to mean that if the people of the city purchase or build a kadosh item with specific intention to use it for mundane as well as holy purposes, like to build a shul with the explicit intent to use it also as a lecture hall for non-Torah content, then this works and the item may be used for the mundane purpose as well. Halakha Tet Zayin. B'me dvarim amurim shemutar limkor beit ha-knesset, b'beit ha-knesset shel kfarim, shelo asu ota ela al dat b'nei ha-kfar v'adam shetiyeh lahem lipalel ba. Hi she'im ratzu kulam l'mochra, mochrin. Aval beit ha-knesset shel krakin, ho'il v'al dat kol anshei ha-olam nasa, she'avo v'ipalel bo kol haba el ha-medina, nasa shel kol Yisrael, ve'ein mochrin oto le'olam. Selling a Beit Knesset, as was discussed in the last halachot, is not always permitted in the first place. This can only be done if the Beit Knesset serves only the local population, and everyone in that population agrees to sell it. This can be the case for a Beit Knesset in a kfar, a small town or village, but one located in a city, which is used not only by locals, but by people who gather in the city from all over, can never be sold. By virtue of the location, we treat this Beit Knesset as if it were built for the benefit of all of Am Yisrael, who obviously cannot be polled in their entirety to ask for their approval to sell it. In Halakha Yud Zayin, the Rambam goes on to place another limitation on the sale even of a Beit Knesset in a kfar. Even this can only be done if the building will not be used by the buyer for one of four especially disrespectful types of use, namely, as a bathhouse, a merchatz or outhouse, as a leather tannery, burski, as a mikvah, or as a place for doing laundry, a beit hamayim. However, it is in the power of the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir, the local council we mentioned earlier, to allow the buyer of the Beit Knesset to use the building even for one of these purposes. The Raiva disagrees. The Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir can consent to the Beit Knesset being torn down by the buyer and lying in ruins, but no stipulation on their part can allow the buyer to defile the Beit Knesset by using it toward one of these four ends. We summarize the last two halachot of the perek. In Halakha Kaf, the Rambam explains that while selling or even giving away a Beit Knesset for a mundane purpose can be permitted based on the rules outlined earlier, it may not be rented out for any purpose of lesser kedusha, because as long as the Beit Knesset remains in the hands of the original owners, it retains its kedusha completely. And in Halakha Kaf Aleph, the Rambam clarifies that only a structure which was built as a Beit Knesset has any of these restrictions discussed in this perek relating to selling it. An area which is used for prayer, but which was not designated specifically for tefillah, like a private home or courtyard which hosts a minyan, or even a part of the street where people gather for prayer when the crowd is too large for the Beit Knesset to hold everyone, does not have kedusha and can be sold, rented out, and used for other purposes without any restrictions. Thank you for joining me in learning today's perek of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next perek.